I actually was praying about what can I share about, you know, and what do I call, and I felt like the Lord put a title in my heart, and I've shared that on social media, and I felt like the Lord was saying, harnessing the hurricane. And, you know, how can we use this, you know, COVID-19 as an opportunity to learn how to become contagious Christians, right? While this virus is contagious and spreading rampantly, there is hope for us that as Christians, we can become more contagious than ever. What does that mean? Because we are the light and the salt of this earth. As Christians, you know, we have the love of God in our hearts, and we can do things, and we can position ourselves in this time to really step out there and become really contagious. And I believe that the love of God and the power of God can be more contagious than the any virus that's there on earth, right? So I just wanted to, when I look at it, you know, a storm that comes, or, you know, a typhoon, or I like to call it a hurricane, because a hurricane is something that's unpredictable, right? I mean, we may know it's coming, but where it comes from, and its route, and it turns around, and it's very, very unpredictable what happens. And so we find ourselves in society at this time in a very unpredictable place. You know, we can't say how far this devastation will go. We can't say what will happen next, what sphere, you know, would be affected the most. And there's so many other things. I mean, some things are foreseeable, but, you know, none of us know what's going to happen. So at such a crucial time, when the hurricane of virus is there, you know, just like how it's possible to harness the wind and get energy out of it, it is possible to harness the hurricane. And I'll come to that in a bit. And I just wanted to explain to you the title, you know, Harnessing the Hurricane. Meaning something that's meant to be devastating, we can harness energy out of it and turn it around for something good. That's the whole point of this, right? But I quickly wanted to also remind you from last week's sermon. And if you missed our last week's sermon, it was called It's Our Time. And if you missed it, it's up on our YouTube page, you know, Church on the Rock International Ministries. If you just put Church on the Rock, there are many Church on the Rock, so you might get confused, but Church on the Rock International Ministries, and then you'll find the sermon from last week saying, It's Our Time, and where I give a challenge and an encouragement there, and you can look at it. It's also on our website, which is peopleontherock.com, and you can go to the sermon section and listen to it or watch it on YouTube. But I want to just quickly run through what was shared last week. You know, one of the things I said was how Jesus found himself in the scriptures. Like, he read the scripture and he identified, oh, this, you know, is where I fit in. And then he started doing what the scripture said. And the encouragement was for us to look at the scriptures and detect where we fit in. And then, you know, do it. So if you look at the scriptures, and I mentioned this last week, Matthew chapter 24, verses 7 and 8 specifically, you know, where Jesus was predicting the signs of the end times. And one of the things is that there'll be wars and rumors of wars, but also plagues and pestilence of all kinds will be a sign of the last days of the end times, right? So it's kind of not surprising for us that there's plagues and pestilence, but what was the context in which Jesus was sharing? What Jesus was saying was not just for information, saying, oh, this will be one of the checklist signs, so you know, check off, so you know that these are the end days. But he was saying it to say that he was telling his disciples that these are the conditions that will be existing when you go out with the gospel message. And so he was sending them as his army, you know, having equipped them to face these kinds of situations. So the encouragement from that is to know that we can expect these things to happen, but also know that through that, just like how Jesus had given them, you know, two assurances in the midst of that, he said to them, I will be with you, like my peace will be with you, right? So we know that God is with us and his peace is with us, as we go into the world with this kind of condition. But the other thing was that he was sending them as messengers of hope and messengers of peace, you know, in the midst of that situation. So we want to, so that's how we find ourselves in the scripture and say, okay, this is about me. So if plagues and pestilence and other things are happening like this, which is out of control, right? We can find ourselves in the scriptures and know that God has raised up a generation. Every generation, there are those who know God, who can rise up and be the light in the darkness, who can not only know that we ourselves have the assurance of safety and peace, but also that we are agents of peace and safety. So that was part of what was shared last week. And then I went through Psalm 91, you know, and so if you have not read Psalm 91 or not familiar with it, it's an amazing psalm that talks about the protection of God, miraculous protection from all kinds of attacks and devastations and everything else. And if there is an if there, it starts off by saying, if we come under the shadow of the Almighty God. So I encourage you, if you haven't read it again, Psalm 91, and then make sure that we come under the protection of God. Call upon the name of God. And we talked about, you know, how the name of God is a strong tower. Right, and we said so that's again in Proverbs 18, verses 10 and 11, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous can run to it and are safe. So it's a great time to call upon the Lord because He's a strong tower, right? And then Psalm 46, the entire psalm, but also verse 1 says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. So God is always with us. He's our very present help, so let's run to Him, right? And we closed off with the name of Yahweh, how it is possible for us to position ourselves, because then calling on the name of the Lord, the name of God, is not just a chant. It's not like, a lucky charm kind of a thing. It is a position that we have in God. So I talked about how, you know, the Yahweh, the consonants that consist in the name of God, Yahweh, is Yod, He, Vav, He, and how the high priest would position himself, you know, by speaking out these consonants, the Yod, the He, the Vav, and the He, you know, east, south, west, and north, and he would position himself. And that's kind of a shadow or a type of how we are in Christ and in Him, and we are safe and all of that. But the key thing last week was that Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 3, that says, you know, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is upon you. You know, it says, look, darkness is covering the earth, and thick darkness is over the people, but the Lord rises upon you, and the glory of the Lord is upon you. Therefore, you rise and shine, because then the nations will come to your light. You know, and so it's a time where we can be a hope, and we can be a light for the people of the world, for the nations, you know, for those that don't know God. And so this is our time. That was the idea, to rise and shine. So I want to quickly transition to what I wanted to share today, is that, see, as Christians, hopefully you are at peace and you know that you are safe in God, because there's always protection for those who are in God. So there is safety for us in a storm. You know, this is proverbial storm, right? Everything around us is going haywire. So in the storm, we are safe because He's with us. When we call upon Him, He protects us. So it's not just about safety, and it's not just about even victory in the storm. It's not just about singing in the storm, because we know we have safety. We know we can sing in the storm because we have a peace of God. But it's also knowing how to steer the storm, you know, steer ourselves in the storm so that we can use the storm for the better of people and situations around us, to create a better atmosphere, to create a better world around us, to create a better community. So it's going, today what I want to talk to you about, going past being safe in the Lord, going past singing in the storm, you know, going past the safety or the singing, but going into the steering. That's why I called it, you know, harnessing the hurricane. So how do we harness the hurricane? And, you know, it's a position that we take. But I wanted to actually, I read something very interesting in an article I was sharing with Peter yesterday. The Smithsonian magazine, you know, there was an article in this magazine, and it's from last year's article. But it was very interesting because it talked about how hurricanes are loaded with power. Obviously, we know that very destructive power. But it says that massive amounts of energy can be actually tapped from hurricanes, right? And actually, let me just read that for a second. It says hurricanes carry over 600 terawatts of energy. Whatever that means, I know it's big, it's huge. It's a lot of energy, right? So scientists have actually been rethinking, you know, how to do the wind turbines. And it's because usually, you know, the wind turbines with the fans, you know, they pull energy from the wind. They're able to, you know, transform, take the wind and transform it into energy. But usually during a storm or during hurricanes, they're actually locked down and shut down, and they're automatically, they happen, because otherwise, if they stay open, they'll get destroyed. The force of hurricanes are so powerful. But the scientists have actually been able to, are thinking of, and they're in the process, I think it's waiting for patent and all that stuff, but able to redesign the fans in such a way, they had to make some changes so that in the hurricane, instead of needing to shut it down, they could change the position and change the shape in such a way so that it will not only not be destroyed in the hurricane, but also be able to produce some good amount of power. So I'm just reading, you know, it says redesigning of common turbine fan to one that can withstand violent typhoons and is able to turn in either direction. I thought that was really interesting. That, you know, they are creating fans that, because hurricanes are unpredictable. They can go this way, that way, turn around, change directions, change the blowing of the wind. And they are creating, you know, these turbines to be able to turn in either direction. So, and it can accommodate unpredictable wind patterns, right? And then it says conventional, the conventional turbines need to be locked down. But here's the other thing. Reaching a new dimension where power generation will happen while disrupting damaging winds, right? So they're talking about taking hurricanes through these newly developed turbines and making it a source of awesome power, right? It's great. Turning it into a friend that produces unimaginable amount of green energy. So if in the natural people are able to adjust the position and the shape and of turbines and fans, you know, fans of the turbines, how much more, I was thinking, in the realm of the spirit, how much more we as Christians can learn. How can we change the way we do things? How should we redirect the way we have done some things? How can we, you know, we need to start thinking differently, and God will give us creative ideas, new ideas, so that when storms like this, hurricanes like these, unpredictable hurricanes, whether it's a virus or a natural disaster or a crash in the economy or whatever it is, when a hurricane comes, we are able to not just save ourselves, yeah, number one, save, be protected from that, but also harness that energy and use it for something good. You know, imagine harnessing a vast amount of, you know, green energy from destructive storms and reducing the damage. So that's what I wanted to talk about. Let me leave you with two scriptures. There is a scripture, and if you have the Bible, you can go with me there. It's in Luke chapter 10, right? And it's also chapter 10, verse 2. And it's also in Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. Maybe I should read from Matthew 9, 37, 38. Where, this is where Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he said, lift up your eyes and look. You know, he was saying, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, right? And for those of you, you know, we just need to know, when he talks about the harvest, he wasn't talking about grain and corn. He was just saying that, you know, people are ready to surrender their lives for a good cause, surrender their lives to the Lord, right? So that it can turn around for good, that they can be saved from eternal damnation, all of that thing, all of that. But when Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, and then he said, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into the field. Now it's very interesting because that word send out laborers in the Greek is ekbalo. And you know, I'm sure you might have heard about it, but that word ekbalo, to send out laborers into the field, is an interesting word. It actually means thrust forth. You know, it actually means there's a connotation of violence there. Violently send out, right? Let me read some of the, you know, dictionary definitions of that word. To cast out, thrust, or force out. To command or cause one to depart in haste. Right? To draw out with force. To draw out with force, right? To tear out. It has the implication of force overcoming an opposite force. Right? And it says, to cause a thing to move straight on its intended goal. Think about this. Now, if you look, so the word ekbalo, when Jesus said to send forth laborers into the harvest field, actually meant pulling people out of the comfort zone and thrusting them forth into the harvest. It actually meant, you know, out of the comfort zone. And so everything that we read here, you know, I just love that depart in haste, you know. Draw out, that means drawing people out of our comfort zones and familiar zones, you know, where a force is overcoming an opposite force. We know that there's always the things of the world and you know, our lives and everything else that we're entangled in. But it says there's a force, you know, ekbalo is a force that is, you know, imposed over another force. So God is able to send us forth. That's the word he used, that we need to be thrust forth into the harvest field. Now, what was the context in which Jesus was saying that? Right after that, in both, you know, Luke chapter 10 and Matthew chapter 9, you'll find the context is that Jesus said that to them, and then he said, because he said, you know, pray for the laborers to be thrust forth, to be sent out, to be shot out of their comfort zones and go to a new place. He said it in the context of saying, now you go, you know, cast out demons, you know, preach the gospel, heal the sick, go into places and leave your peace in the homes and towns where you go to. It was very much in the context of sending people out with the gospel of Jesus Christ, sending people out with the message of hope, sending people out to be bearers of good news. You know, go do these good things and declare that the kingdom of God is near. In that context, he was saying ekbalo, right? And so it says, go as sheep among wolves and bring peace, heal, you know, kingdom of God is here. And so I want to declare to you, if you're watching, the kingdom of God is here, right? And we know the Bible says the kingdom of God is what? It's righteousness, peace, and joy. So no matter what situation we are in or what situation the world is in, we can bring the message of righteousness. We can bring because we are already in it, right? We have righteousness, we have hope, we have joy, we have peace. So when Jesus said righteousness, joy, and peace, righteousness, peace, and joy is here, that's the message we bring to people, right? That's an awesome thing. So I just want to speak ekbalo to you, that you go forth, you know, be thrust forth at this time, you know, as sheep among wolves, you know, into that the devastations of the world around us, to be the bearers of good news. And talking about causing a thing to move straight into its intended goal, that's one of the meanings. I was thinking last night, the Lord spoke to me about Jonah. You know, you can go home and read, most of you know the story of Jonah, that Jonah disobeyed God, and then, you know, he was in the storm and then swallowed by a fish. But there's a scripture in Jonah chapter 10 verse 2, that's the last verse of Jonah. It says, and God commanded the fish to vomit Jonah out onto the shore. That was the last verse in chapter 2. But then in chapter 3 it says, and then Jonah heard the voice of God. God spoke to Jonah and said, now go to Nineveh and share the gospel, you know, share the message. And so it says Jonah went to Nineveh. Now, if you know the background of the story, we know that Jonah disobeyed first. He didn't do what God wanted him to do. But his experience of being in the storm and being in the belly of the fish. And I'm really saying this quick, but you know the story. I want you to picture and imagine that great storm, that it was so great that, you know, everyone, all the sailors and people in the ship was like scared for their lives, and ultimately they had to throw Jonah out, and the storm in the sea was overwhelming for Jonah. But in the midst of that, God sent the fish, and you know, the fish swallowed Jonah. And but I wanted to picture how comfortable is it going to be in the belly of the fish. So I wanted to, and but the story didn't end there. God still cast the fish to vomit Jonah into the shore. So what am I trying to say? When Ekbalo, actually one of the meanings of Ekbalo, says to cause a thing to move straight on its intended goal, I want you to know, through Jonah's bad situation, through Jonah's ugly situation, Jonah came out of the fish's belly, maybe stinking, maybe all sticky with, you know, the goo in the fish's belly, and all of them, maybe, you know, seaweed around his head, I don't know, but he was vomited out, he was in a bad situation, but God made a way for him. But where did the fish vomit him out? This is what I want to say, that in the midst of all the problem, God positioned Jonah, gave him a second opportunity. He positioned Jonah, he was going opposite of where God had asked him to go. But through all the problem, God made the fish to vomit Jonah in position, in towards his intended goal, towards his destiny. And I want to speak that into you. Maybe we are in a sticky situation. Maybe you were in a time where, you know, you were in disobedience, or maybe in just a tight situation, confined, almost like in the belly of the fish, with darkness and just nothing going for you. However the situation of the world may be, or maybe, you know, you're just the opposite direction of where God wants you to be. But here's the thing. No matter what, God is able to steer things. God is able to position you. God is able, through that trouble and through that problem, God can still command the fish to throw you up. And I like to call it, maybe I'll speak sometime on it, called barfed out. You know, the fish comes and barfs Jonah out. But here's the thing. God had made it in such a way that he was positioned. Jonah got up from there and went directly to Nineveh, which was already what God had planned for him. So I prophesy to you that in the midst of trouble, in the midst of sticky situations, no matter what you're going through, that God is able to put you back and position you back into destiny. So in the midst of this hurricane, hey, whether you are walking with God or not, it is an opportunity. It is an opportunity for you to use this, to know that, hey, if I'm in this place, God has positioned me to go forth towards my destiny, to go forward into the things of God. And so I want to just say, Ekbalo to you, be sent forth. You know, maybe this is thrusting us forward, but these are the best times of our lives. Do something with this. How, practically speaking, how can we? I wrote a couple of things down. I wanted you to remember, practically speaking, you know, some things that you can do to bless others. Because things that maybe we never did, but this hurricane, I wanted to harness it so that you'll use it as a good, positive, you know, thing to do things around us. Be an ambassador of God. Be the salt. Be the light. And things that maybe we never had opportunities to do, even in our isolation here. You know, the Bible says, by your love for each other and for God, you know, people will know that you are Christians. Maybe we can show some practical love. I was thinking, you know, call people up. Tell them that, you know, care for them. If you're a praying person, pray for people. If you get a word for someone, call or text or send an email and tell them, I was thinking about you. This is what I felt the Lord saying. You know, another thing is stop hoarding, you know, including toilet rolls. Stop hoarding, start sharing maybe. Think about those that are around you. Maybe there's a senior in your community or in your neighborhood that you could help. Maybe a single mom who's just struggling to babysit all these kids. Maybe, you know, some kind of help. Call up and ask, how can I help? And so it's possible for us to do things while we are being safe and isolated. We can still be a blessing to other people. I was thinking maybe write to your local MP and, you know, encourage some leaders and say that, you know, they're doing a good job. You're backing them up. You're praying for them. However, I read something on Facebook yesterday, and I think it was really a practical thing. Someone said about, you know, how these big trucks cannot go through drive-thrus, and they come and park somewhere far away, and then they're waiting to walk. Maybe if you're online in drive-thru, Buy them something and give. Bless that truck driver. There are so many practical ways of blessing people at this time that we would never have thought of. So harness the hurricane and do it, you know. Offer to buy groceries for the elderly. I know in our church, many of the young adults have come forward and said they'll help to buy groceries for the seniors. And that's awesome. So there are things that we can do to encourage each other and keep doing that, you know. Call people, make most of it. But main thing is to share your joy and your hope. Become a contagious Christian. May your hope and your joy, see, there's so much negative news there, right? You be the harbinger of good news. Bring some hope, bring some joy, make some people laugh and you know, spread, because this too shall pass. If we have the hope of Christ and the joy of Christ within us, hey, come on, let's do something. Ekbalo into all the communities and the people that are around you and be a blessing. That way we can be a contagious Christian. We can actually harness this hurricane and make something good come out of it. And it'll just keep adding on. It'll be a snowball effect. It'll continue on. So I want to encourage you with that. Go forth. God has ekbaloed us into the harvest field. I'm going to actually ask Peter to come and just maybe give some closing words and just tag on to this. And we'll go from there.
So how's everybody? How's Church on the Rock? This is funny talking to the camera. Knowing fully well there's many of you guys are there. Thanks for waiting. Really want to appreciate Emo and Billy and Amelia and Rachel for working hard. We did have some technical issues, but we've overcome it. At least we're able to get into Facebook Live. But thank you guys for logging in. I want to just really touch on very briefly what Sheila said about harnessing the hurricane. She's, I like the word that she's brought forth. And if ever there was a time to harness a hurricane, it is now. The world is in chaos and Canada is in chaos. Our Toronto, our own city, needs prayer. You're looking at nearly 1,400 people in Canada have been affected. 20 people are dead. This is spreading and this is creating a chaos, not just in Canada, but around the world. But I am concerned for our city. There are people in our church who are working in the front line. I think of Ulysses and Ava and could be others who are working in the medical field and some of the social works field like myself and a few others. Just keep them in prayer. We all need each other as we take care of our city at this time. I want to just briefly share on what Sheila shared. I won't take too long, but I want to talk about the authority that God has given us. When we started the year, God started moving. If you remember, we had the anointing service, we had the retreat, and God has been taking us to new levels. Y'all have been going to the streets preaching. So it's just been amazing what God is doing. My question is, what do you do now? When you see all this happening, and you are in a way a lockdown, quarantined, what is God calling you to do at this stage in Church on the Rock, and where is our call? I just want to touch on the authority that God has given you, and one of the weapons God has given us is the blood of the Lamb. I want to talk very briefly about the blood of the Lamb. I feel God has taken us to a new stage, and there's a hurricane that needs to be harnessed, and you know, it's just not just the COVID, or the coronavirus and the health issues, but this is propelling into economic issues. 500,000 people went and applied for EI in Canada. There's tons of people losing their jobs, so there's a economic meltdown, and we need to look at what's happening there. But it's a great time for harvest. And what is the church called to do at this time? That's where my heart is. And I felt the Lord saying, share very briefly about what weapons God has given us to harness the hurricane. I want to talk about the blood of the Lamb. When we take communion, one of the phrases that we normally say is, in the same manner, you also took the cup after supper. And we say, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. When you take the cup, it's a representation of the blood of the Lamb. And we say this is the cup of the new covenant. When we say it's new covenant, definitely there's an old covenant. And when you look at the Old Covenant, we look at Passover, which we're going to come very close. We are very close to the Passover when they apply the blood of the Lamb, and it was a clear sign that the enemy will, the angel of death will pass by anybody whose house has been, the blood of the Lamb is on it. That is the Old Covenant, and I see that as a very defensive way of approach. But when I look at the New Covenant, God is saying you overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. Come on. That is an offensive statement. You're not sitting back. He's saying, come on, you will overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. So the first thing I want to say when I'm talking about the blood of the Lamb, this is a time for aggressive action. This is a time to go in for war. This is a time to say, yes, God, here am I. I'm going in for war. This is a time for taking authority. I really feel, don't wait for the attack of the enemy. You start the fight. You say, I have authority over this city. I have authority over my church. I have authority over my family. And there is a place that you and I need to take our stance and say, I am going for war. You overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. The second thing I want to talk about the blood of the Lamb, just three things I want to give you. It says we have access by the blood. Second thing I want to say is you have access by the blood. Let me read the words from the Word of God. At that time, they were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You've been far away, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For through him, we both have access by one spirit to the Father. So we have access. We have access. And I do want you all, because of the blood of the Lamb, you and I have access to God the Father. And I really feel because of the blood of the Lamb and we can have access to God the Father, let's go and hear the voice of God. Let's listen. Let's know. Let's hear what heaven is responding at this time. Let's just not just listen to the media. Let's just not pick up the phone and say, hey guys, did you hear about this? You and I have access to God the Father that God can reveal to us what his plans are. And I really want to say there's something wonderful that's happening. There's something glorious that's happening. And I believe God wants to share with his people. And I pray you and I have the ears to hear prophetic words in the season. And it comes by locking yourself away and saying, God, here am I. You and I have access because of the blood of the Lamb. The last thing I want to say, you know this verse, but I'll read this verse, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and of the church of the firstborn. It goes on to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaks better than that of Abel. We have a blood that speaks. And a blood that speaks better than Abel. When Abel was killed, there was a cry for justice. There was a cry for revenge. But I want to say there is a blood that's crying out and saying, it's time for harvest. There's a blood that's crying and saying, it's time for forgiveness. There's a blood that's crying and saying, can you bring these people in? And I believe the blood of Jesus Christ was shed so that none will perish. And there's a cry that's coming from the blood of the Lamb. And I just want to tell you, this is a time for harvest. So I want to just leave those three thoughts, and I want to say that God has given us authority. This is not a season to shrink back. This is not a season for us to, take a back seat. I really believe, come on, let's go into the offensive. Church of the Rock, we've done so well this year. This year has been a crazy year. If you look at the fires that took place in Australia, you look at what happened with Iran and U.S., you look at Kobe's death, And now the coronavirus, something is triggering. As a church, we need to know what the Lord is speaking. The Lord is speaking loud and clear. It's not business as usual. It's not church as usual. It's not going to be, many of the things are going to change. But I believe God is getting our attention. And I pray as men and women of God who know the voice of God, it's time for us to go into the offensive. It's time for us to know we have the access of God, and we not time for us to know there is a voice coming from heaven saying it's time for harvest.